It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous, intrepid, extraordinary reporter. Hello, Ruth.
Good morning. Well, once again, we're still back in the 1700s around here. Lots of different activities. And one of the really neat ones this past Saturday was up in Canaan, with the raising of the flag on the Liberty Pole. So there were several postings on Facebook yesterday. What is that flag there? And so they didn't read or hear about it. But the Canaan was one of the first towns in the colonies to put up this Liberty Pole as a way of showing its dissent against the crown. In the late 1700s, when we were just about ready to go to war, the Canaan folks, seeing what was happening in Boston with the Tea Party and all the acts that were being placed on them, felt this was a way that they could dissent. So they put up this flagpole that is 78 feet tall, 15 feet wide, and strung a big scarlet colored flag on it saying liberty and property. And so Canaanites, 252 years later, decided to replicate that. And there was a ceremony on Saturday. The flagpole was raised, lots of people dressed in costume. It's at the corner of the Route 7 and 44, just across from the Catholic Church. And it was quite a to-do. Lots of people came out, a nice ceremony, kids dressed in little militia outfits. And the flag was raised. It will be there for about a year, I understand.
It's quite the sight, too. I went by and saw that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you saw it. Yeah,
because it really miss it. Is.
Well, it's funny. People didn't know they were going. What is it? What is it? So
it's so great, as far as I'm concerned, because it's there. They're seeing it, and people are going to the ones who didn't know are now encouraged just by virtue of the fact that it's there to find out what it's doing. So
exactly.
That means anyone who really doesn't care about this, and the future is now, and blah, blah, and is going to perforce go back to school and find out what that is. And I just think that's ingenious. I commend personally.
Yes.
My personal opinion is that was really smart. Good job.
Right. I would agree.
Amen. Amen.
And Jesse Bunce, the first selectman, is the one who felled the tree, which was donated by one of the descendants of one of the town settlers, the Lawrence people.
He felled the tree? Did he do it the way they did it in the 1700s, or did he cheat and use a chainsaw?
I don't know. Probably the latter. But he explained, you know, it's tall and skinny, and somebody said, well, how do you secure it? He said, it's down 10 feet and surrounded by boulders. So he said, it's not going anywhere. And that was followed by a community picnic, which was lovely, with folks eating what you'd eat in America, hot dogs and apple pie. And again, there were lots of people under the pavilion, and there were booths, and very nicely done. So, yes, hats off to Canaan for that. Then on Sunday, they had a cemetery tours in both Falls Village and Canaan. By the way, the flag raising and the picnic were all co-sponsored by the Canaan's 250th Anniversary Committee, the Canaan History Center, and the Exchange Club, and the Town of Canaan. And then the historical societies of both towns did these cemetery tours. They were lovely. They were period costumes. They were at Grassy Hill. They were at Mountainside. They were at Hillside. They were folks were all over. They were hot in their period costumes, but we got to meet lots of Revolutionary War soldiers and learn about their lives. And again, Jill, an educational opportunity for people to learn. And I think that's part of this whole celebration, I think, is, learning about this, and hopefully people will realize how this country was born and what people went through. So,
And when you have, shall we say, skin in the game, when you start knowing that, you start knowing what it is that you basically have a choice. You can continue to yell at your television and post your opinions on your social media, or you can get out there and make yourself a community.
right,
Sorry,
yes.
but basically, it's a pretty simple equation, quoting our friend Marshall Miles. So I think that because this is, again, credit where credit's due, been conducted during the times, like, for example, yesterday was Flag Day. There are pegs or hooks, or like Jesse Bunce's flagpole. 10 feet down, surrounded by boulders. It's not going anywhere. There are reasons to not forget. This doesn't have to go sliding off a bad memory. I don't mean bad, like unfortunate. But this doesn't. You'll remember. It's a flag. It was Flag Day. Okay. These are things that the mind can continue to place and go forward, and it actually creates a structure that's, again, it's gonna work, even for the people who are like, "Hey, what's that there?" Okay, go find out.
And then on Sunday again, as Jill knows, because we met, as I was going into town hall in Sharon, there was a program. They're doing a series of lectures, and this one featured Alexandra Peters talking about where were the women in colonial America? We don't hear about them very much. She had was very funny. She had a picture of the Trumbull painting of the signing of the Declaration with all the men, that famous portrait. And then at the end, she had transposed it and had all the people, women, signing it and in the audience, and it was very funny. But she said she wasn't battering men or anything. She was just making a point that women were in the background, but they were doing lots of important things. And then she focused on needlework, because for folks who know, she is a collector of old samplers. She has 200 and I think four, she said, or something to that effect. And she presented stories about the young girls, and you got to know about colonial life through these samplers, the amazing pieces of work and telling stories, and the tragedy of losing loads of children to disease, and what girls were learning about. Again, a very, very interesting talk. Yes.
Sewing sampler, education. Speaking of education, you learn certain things when depending on gender. You learned, for example, needlework. Sewing samplers was very much a part of you were 8. You learned how to. You started learning that possibly even a little bit earlier, and it was just just like geography, just the way. Just like, I'm not going to say education today, but just as you got to a certain age and you got to start doing things, you got to a certain age and you people, a lot of people didn't just wake up and know how to do that. They learned. That was part of the they that was part of the back to that word, education.
Exactly. Education in all forms.
Well, the women were support structure behind the scene. I mean, I know people get aggravated they weren't sitting at the table at that time, but also remember they didn't get their right to vote until the 1900s either. But they were an important part of the structure of keeping things going out there and providing goods and services that were needed and taking care of the children so they could grow up and enjoy the country they were fighting for. And you know, when you move forward even into World War I, World War II, when we had so many people overseas, they went in and took the factory jobs and kept it going. So women's, even though people like to say the women were oppressed, I would go the other way. The women were a part of the structure and an important part of that structure, whether you look at it as that or not. That's the way I look at it, because without that part of the structure, the rest of it would crumble.
Well, as she said, you know, family was it. That was there. They kept the families together, and they kept, you're right, you know, and the men went off and did what they had to do.
Yeah, I think you hit that right. Well, she hit it right with family,
Yeah,
which
that was her.
unfortunately these days, I'm sorry, isn't revered as well as it should be.
That was, yeah, her
But
main
with
point.
that, just in fairness, and I don't. You guys can thank whoever you want for what I'm about to say, but the notion of doing that has been derided over how many decades now? So the fact that family and people are coming back to, like, oh yeah, hey, it was actually turned into a political talking point. Talking points, beyond talking point. You know, it's like, no, family. You gotta have a family. And that basic structure, going back to basic structures, is hopefully being rethought, just in terms of, oh wait, you need this to do that. Not, again, not as a position or a talking point or an opinion. Sorry, lecture over. Bye.
Lots of
So,
lectures this morning.
yes, but a lot of good stuff going on, and it's going to continue all through July 4th and beyond. And as you say, I hope people take advantage of at least some of them to learn what's happening and what happened and why we are here. Wouldn't be without all that went before us. Lakeville Journal has a story about Laban's unveiling plans for expansion. I'm trying to picture, but I guess it's going to
The
go
east side,
east,
right?
the east part of the building they're going to try and add on to, and maybe some additional parking. I'm not sure, but
It's been a plan long in the planning, because Bob Laban has wanted to do this for a long, long time.
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of there's it's a complex mess, to say the least, with the way it's set up. You're familiar with what it is down there, and it takes
yeah.
some give and take on the part of zoning and the town, and it really is a serious thing. But Bob has been talking about and working towards this for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he was before the Economic Development Committee where his plans came out. And yeah, it's I'm sure it will enhance the store, whatever they're going to do. And and speaking of grocery stores, there was a story about Sharon Market. You know, there he had a we had a story. The Journal had a story last week about concerns of the shelves being empty. What's really happening there? And of course, JM is moving out and moving into where Neo is in Salisbury. So there's lots of supermarket stories to be following.
Yeah, there's
That's
no information. Is there any information on that?
there was this.
As far as plans, because I think also in the Milwaukee News there was the some headline that they plan to have the same owners plan to have that store open by Thanksgiving.
Which store?
The grocery store in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, that's long been coming.
That was supposed to have been
But
open
that's the
already.
same people, no? That's
Same
part of the
people,
community.
yes, the owners of Sharon Farm Market. Yeah, same people, but people are have been clamoring for a couple of years now. They said they were going to open, and nothing is.
No, I know that. What I'm talking about is Jam moving. What I'm talking about are the pieces of this puzzle. Jam is moving to Neo. There is some lack. There's definitely lack of product on the shelves in Sharon. That part is true. And then we've got a headline that says that the Millerton store is expected to be open by Thanksgiving. I'm not making any connection other than asking, does anybody have any further information? That's what I'm asking.
Well, they had leased that Mellerton property the first time around, and I think people are remembering what happened then. They started off with a bang, and then the shelf started going empty, blah, 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 inevitably closed. But now they've bought that property down in Mellerton, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
And
Oh, okay.
the plaza itself. And
Oh.
so, that's they're juggling a few projects here from the look of it. So we just all have to cross our fingers, because I know from our position where we live, I would so much like to have a grocery store in Mellerton again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Millerton and Dover are just deserts. They have nothing. I have to go out of town to shop.
Right.
It's as
But in some cases, they're their own worst enemy, because they could have had a really wonderful Hannaford's in Mellerton, and they just. They just let that go by. Well, finally got approved, but they fought it so hard that Hannaford's finally said, "Well, you know what? We're not going to do it after all."
Oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Wow.
That would have brought a lot of jobs and stuff, and there's no impact on that. The Mellerton downtown, oddly enough, years back when the grocery stores and everything were in Mellerton, and they started migrating out there on 44 moving towards Connecticut, you had the Ford dealership move from downtown up to their new facility, which is now, continues to be a Ford dealership. You had Joe Trotta, who moved up out of the middle of Mellerton and built that store that we're talking about right now. That was the first, was the main box, and then added on to later. So, and the downtown has always kind of evolved down there and stayed alive. And I keep watching it too, because there's certain things you see going on in some of these downtowns where, as they start to fold from being what they were, they turn into a bunch of art galleries, sorry, art people. And things that are not businesses that people would patronize on a regular basis or everybody would go to.
But it
And
was set up
the
that way.
Mellerton, but the Mellerton downtown seems to have kept that component going to quite a degree. And that's what the other towns kind of need to do in their downtowns to keep them alive. You can't have just real estate offices and art galleries and think you're going to make it. So that's my last lecture for the morning. So we are coming up on the end of our time. So what else do you have to
Well,
say
let's
this
just.
morning?
Yeah, just note that this is graduation week. All the elementary schools will be having their graduations at some point. The high school is at 6 o'clock on Friday the 19th. So for folks who have interest in that, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be outside again. At some point, the kids had put up some classes decided on a tent. And then a couple of years ago, the class said, no, we want to, that was last year, I think, we want it back outside the traditional way on the lawn, on the oval. And so I believe it's going to be out there again. And so check your local papers or websites to see where each graduation is this
And
week.
are all the grammar
Yeah.
schools out this week as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
so it's the grammar schools, them. For
They
some
did.
folks around, you have Torrington, you have the Oliver Wolcott School, and then, of course, over in New York State, theirs are different. As a matter of fact, I think they've had some of them already in New York State.
Really, usually they go t later. Yeah,
In
they usually go later.
Massachusetts, yet another one. So, everybody out there, it's that general period over this week,
But
next
there's
week.
something more relevant for everybody, and that is that Friday, just in case you're getting graduation gifts, all right, and your bank is telling you now. Friday's a bank holiday because Friday is
Juneteenth,
Juneteenth. Yeah.
bank
Yeah.
holiday.
So
So,
you gotta.
okay, folks, we're gonna
All
holidays or
right.
not, we're gonna have to call this show to an end here. So, if you will, please, Jill.
At this point, you might as well start doing it. Ruth, thank you very much. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous, intrepid, curious, experienced reporter on Robin Hood Radio.